This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
When shopping for car insurance, consider this. GEICO has been saving people money on car insurance for over 75 years. So if you're serious about savings, it's simple. Go to GEICO.com. After 75 years, they know how to save you money.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
A killing shown on Facebook. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal along with Rasa Kay on this Monday, April 17th. And here's what we have for you this hour.
Cleveland police say a suspect killed a man, filmed the shooting, and streamed it on Facebook.
Turkey's president declares a referendum victory while opponents plan a challenge.
Vice President Pence puts North Korea on notice not to test U.S. resolve, citing the recent strike on Syria.
The Trump administration is in a rush to hire border agents, but it's finding that the process isn't all that easy.
It's not entirely clear why so many applicants fail. People who've worked inside of the agency believe that it's because of questions about prior drug use.
Dan Frosch of the Wall Street Journal will be along in about 10 minutes with that story. Cleveland police are urging a suspect who they say posted video of himself on Facebook killing an elderly man yesterday to turn himself into authorities. Cleveland Police Chief Calvin Williams says authorities are looking for Steve Stevens in connection with one confirmed killing, but it found no evidence to support what police said was a claim he made in the video of having killed more than a dozen other people.
From what we can tell now, it's just a random person that he picked out. We don't know why, but again, it's senseless. There is no need for this gentleman to lose his life.
Police say Stevens used Facebook to post video of him killing the man who's been identified as 74-year-old Robert Godwin Sr. Stevens is not believed to have known Godwin, the world's largest online social network used by more than 1.2 billion people every day, condemned the accused killer's action. This is not the first time a serious crime has been posted on Facebook. Vice President Mike Pence today expressed impatience with the unwillingness of the North Korean regime to move toward ridding itself of nuclear weapons and ballistic missiles.
Over the past 18 months, North Korea has conducted two unlawful nuclear tests and an unprecedented number of ballistic missile tests, even conducting a failed missile launch as I traveled here for this visit. The era of strategic patience is over.
Pence told reporters that the U.S. and its allies will achieve its objectives through peaceable means or ultimately by whatever means are necessary to protect South Korea and stabilize the region. On Saturday, North Korea showed off new missiles and launchers at its annual military parade. Yesterday, it failed in its attempt to test another missile. National Security Advisor H.R. McMaster spoke to ABC News.
As long as they continue missile development, even though this was a failed missile, they get better and they learn lessons. And so what's critical is for them to stop this destabilizing behavior, stop the development of these weapons, and denuclearize.
Pence is on the first stop of a four-nation Asia tour intended to show that the Trump administration is not turning its back on the increasingly volatile region. President Erdogan has declared victory in a referendum granting him sweeping powers in the biggest overhaul of modern Turkish politics. But as this morning's Mike Gavin reports, opponents say the vote was marred by irregularities and they will challenge its results.
Erdogan says 25 million people supported his proposal, which will replace Turkey's parliamentary system with an all-powerful presidency and abolish the office of prime minister, giving the yes camp 51.5% of the vote. That appeared short of the decisive victory for which he and the ruling AK party had aggressively campaigned. Still, thousands of flag-waving supporters rallied in celebration. Under the changes, the president will appoint the cabinet and an undefined number of vice presidents and be able to select and remove senior civil servants without parliamentary approval. Erdogan survived a failed coup attempt last July and responded with a crackdown that has resulted in the detention of some 47,000 people. Jen?
Thanks, Mike.
The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. And if you missed any of today's show, you can catch it on our podcast. You can hear that on our website, thismorningwithgordondeal.com, or on apps like TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, and SoundCloud. Homeland Security Secretary John Kelly says President Trump is unwavering in his commitments to close U.S. borders to illegal immigrants and remove those already in the country illegally, but refuted the idea that the administration is assembling a so-called deportation force. Kelly appeared yesterday on NBC's Meet the Press.
Just because you're in the United States illegally doesn't necessarily get you targeted. It's got to be something else. And we're operating more or less at the other end of the spectrum, and that is criminals.
Kelly also acknowledged the possibility of hiring as many 10,000 new immigration and customs enforcement employees and thousands more Border Patrol agents. But that may not be so easy, as Border Patrol has struggled for years to fill jobs with agents who meet its standards. Dan Frosch of the Wall Street Journal is here to tell us about some changes to its hiring requirements the agency is now contemplating. Dan, what's the biggest change here?
Well, the biggest change that the Border Patrol and the larger agency that it's a part of called U.S. Customs and Border Protection are considering is a change to the existing polygraph exam, which all applicants to the Border Patrol must currently pass before getting hired. And right now they have a very rigorous polygraph. Polygraph for them is mandated by law, and about 60% of the applicants fail. So the Border Patrol is looking at some tweaks to the polygraph program, some exemptions for prior law enforcement and military vets who have already been perhaps polygraphed. And concurrently, they're also testing out a new polygraph program, which they hope more applicants will be able to pass.
Dan, 60% sounds like a high number to me. Is it, and why would it be so high?
Extremely high, and it's not entirely clear why so many applicants fail. People who've worked inside of the agency believe that it's because of questions about prior drug use. And, you know, when you're applying for a job, and particularly a job in law enforcement, and there is a question that's asked about prior drug use, most people are inclined to say, no, I've never used drugs. And then they end up getting asked that question, you know, on a polygraph test where they have to sign a piece of paper as part of their application. And, you know, they think to themselves, well, under penalty of perjury, as it says here on the application, I have used some drugs, you know, 10, 15 years ago or maybe 5 years ago. So now they're caught in a lie. And the fact is, some prior drug use, if it's you know, low-level drugs like marijuana, if there's no history of addiction or crime, that doesn't preclude you from becoming a law enforcement officer or becoming a federal law enforcement officer or becoming a Border Patrol agent in this case. But I think that's where we're seeing a lot of the applicants get tripped up.
So is there a possibility that those kinds of questions might be taken out of the polygraph?
Sure. It is possible. The new polygraph test that they are actually going to use on applicants for the next 6 months as part of the polygraph program focuses more on questions, more general questions about corruption, as I understand it, and not so much on drug use. The problem, though, that critics of what the Border Patrol is doing is that, they say these drug use questions are vital to weeding out applicants who may be vulnerable to assisting with drug activity, with drug cartels trying to push drugs, smuggle drugs across the border, which has been an issue with the Border Patrol in the past in terms of having some of their agents caught up in that illegal activity.
Dan, are there any other changes they're thinking about the application process?
Yeah, I mean, there are a number of changes, more sort of perfunctory changes. At this point, the Customs and Border Protection, when they hire somebody, you know, before they run a background check on them, they have to farm out that background check process to another federal law enforcement agency like the FBI to do it for them. And it takes a long time. But Customs and Border Protection wants to be able to do that themselves. They want the authority to be able to run their own background checks. Another issue that they're looking at is the probationary period. It's currently 1 year. If they want to extend that probationary period to 2 years, so that gives them more time to evaluate an agent's performance, and also sort of, you know, allows agents to learn on the job for a longer period of time.
Thanks, Dan. That's Dan Frosch of the Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes after the hour. Rasa Kay is here with today's top stories.
Jen, a horrific shooting in Cleveland, but viewable the world over as the gunman streamed the murder on Facebook Live yesterday. Police say the suspect, identified as Steve Stevens, is armed and dangerous and claims to have committed other homicides. Cleveland Mayor Frank Jackson.
We want to communicate to him that we know who he is and that he will eventually be caught.
Stevens apparently did not know his victim, identified as 74-year-old Robert Godwin. While Vice President Mike Pence was aboard Air Force Two flying over the Bering Sea, a North Korean missile exploded during launch on Sunday, a high-profile failure that comes as a powerful U.S. aircraft supercarrier approaches the Korean Peninsula, and Pence starts his first official trip to the Asia-Pacific region. He's there to discuss economic policies and highlight U.S. commitment to its allies. He visited the demilitarized zone on Easter.
We will see freedom through. We will see the interests of the security and prosperity of the people of South Korea. And in a word, we go together.
President Trump's national security advisor spent Easter meeting Afghan officials in Kabul to discuss security, counterterrorism, reforms, and development. The visit by H.R. McMaster is the first high-level visit to Afghanistan and comes just days after the U.S. military dropped a massive ordnance air blast bomb during an operation against Islamic State militants in eastern Afghanistan. A Detroit policeman's in critical condition after a teen gunman blasted his face through a door, believing the two officers outside his home were burglars. Detroit's police chief says the 19-year-old opened fire, fearing for the safety of his mother and brother after reporting a Sunday night break-in attempt. A week of outrage over a viral video of a man dragged off a United Airlines flight has brought policy changes to three U.S. carriers. United will require crew members check in an hour early. Delta has announced it's now willing to pay up to nearly $10,000 to get some people to give up a seat. And American promises to never bump a passenger once the passenger's seated. And Arizona police have a new drug-sniffing animal, and it's not a dog. The new team member at the Avondale Police Department is Iroh, the drug-sniffing lizard. The choice to use a bearded dragon was based on new research that shows reptiles have a stronger sense of smell than dogs when it comes to identifying narcotics.
I, for one, will not really want to see these things around my baggage when I go to the airport. Ew. Can they run fast enough to catch people?
Yes, pardon me while I recoil.
Thanks, Rasa. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Well, with the tax filing deadline tomorrow, you may be wondering where your tax dollars are going. Laura Saunders of the Wall Street Journal has taken a look at a study of spending last year versus 2011 and joins us now. Laura, who put together this study?
It was put together by the Committee for Responsible Federal Budget. That is a nonpartisan, nonprofit group in Washington, and the head of it has a Democrat, a Republican, and an Independent. They are Mitch Daniels, Leon Panetta, and Tim Penny. So I think they look at things fairly.
What were the biggest areas of spending in 2016 and then in 2011?
Well, I think Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. There's some people who, and then National Defense. There's some people who say that the U.S., if you look at the budget, the U.S. looks like a giant insurance company with an army.
And do the numbers drop off significantly after those couple of categories?
Well, yeah, they do. I mean, Social Security last year was 20 out of $100 of your taxes spent. It was $23. Medicare was 15. National Defense was 15. Medicaid was 9. And then you get down to things like, national parks would be 8 cents out of $100, or food stamps would be $1.89 out of $100.
Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, all up about 15% in the past couple of years. Why is that?
Well, the population, two things. The population is aging, so more people are claiming benefits. And with Medicaid, the increase comes from aging, also from growth in health care costs, and from expanded eligibility under the Affordable Care Act, which we know as Obamacare.
At the very bottom of the list, I saw congressional salaries were only 3 cents of the dollar.
Yeah.
I guess people would be happy about that.
Yeah, our readers always ask that question, so I asked them to work it up for me. Yep.
What do these numbers mean in terms of preparing a budget in the future?
Well, what they mean is that what it shows is the dilemmas faced by President Trump and Congress. Retiring boomers expect both Social Security and Medicare benefits, so any cuts to these programs will be highly unpopular. But and you know that President Trump released a skinny budget, but he talked about making very sharp cuts in things like the Park Service or the National Endowment for the Arts. But that. He didn't talk about the 70% of the budget that's fixed. So the point is that we're on an unsustainable path. The budget is very far out of balance, and cuts will have to come from popular programs because that's where the money's being spent.
Thanks, Laura. Laura Saunders of The Wall Street Journal. It's 30 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for three straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in defense, cybersecurity, mobility, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan among the top 10 states in the country for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org, because helping business grow is pure Michigan.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
It's Monday, April 17th. Jennifer Kishinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay. Some of our top stories and headlines. Cleveland police say a man killed another and posted the video on Facebook. Vice President Pence visits the demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. One day after his sister's death, Isaiah Thomas scored 33 points as his Celtics fell to the Bulls 106-102 in the playoffs. And you can thank a famous Instagram dog for reuniting another pet with her owner. That story in about 20 minutes. Well, if you run a big company and haven't yet met with President Trump, you must be doing something wrong. Rick Newman, columnist for Yahoo Finance, is here with more on the president's policy of hosting CEOs at the White House. Rick, this seems like it's one thing that's smack in Trump's wheelhouse.
He seems to really enjoy schmoozing with business leaders. He's basically every week he's been having some sort of big event where he brings in a couple dozen CEOs. And now the way they do that at the beginning, these would just be big roundtable discussions or you might say oval table discussions where Trump would sit in the middle, be surrounded by, you know, all these famous business leaders, and they'd have some kind of meeting. But now they're actually like breaking down into groups. So four or five CEOs will each be assigned to one of the cabinet members, Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, or Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary. And they go off and they sort of talk about how to solve economic problems. So it does seem that the business leaders are actually helping draft policy proposals, and that's important because we know Trump wants to cut taxes. He has a big infrastructure plan he supposedly is going to unveil. So he is getting a lot of input from people in the business community on this.
Rick, did it seem like some of the early meetings in early January were just basically photo ops?
Yeah, well, there's always a photo op element to this, and I don't even think the White House would deny that. What they do is there's usually a public element to these meetings, 20 or 30 minutes at the beginning. Sometimes the White House broadcasts that for anybody who wants to see. And then there are the private meetings. You know, you have to kind of go and ask the participants what was said at that point. So, President Obama did this too. He probably wasn't quite as public about it, but he hosted a lot of CEOs. Sometimes that's just keeping up relationships with the business community, who do play an important role in the economy, obviously. And in Trump's case, he could be, you know, these people could be directly helping craft some of the proposals we're going to hear later this year.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, columnist for Yahoo Finance. Rick, who gets invited to the White House and why?
Lots of CEOs. The sort of middleman here is Steve Schwarzman. He's CEO of the Blackstone Group, the big private equity firm. He's sort of Trump's liaison to the business community. So we've seen a lot of bankers, for example, Jamie Dimon of J.P. Morgan Chase has been there, other bank CEOs. We've seen some recurring visitors are the leaders of companies like Boeing, IBM. Trump seems to be sort of developing a few favorites here. The automaker CEOs have been there. They might have some input on infrastructure spending. He likes, there have been a couple of Trump's developer friends who might also be helping with, you know, ideas for how to build new roads and bridges and things like that. I mean, those are the people who actually do those kinds of projects. And I think what we want is what we're looking for is whether he sort of expands this group to, you know, include different types of outreach to different industries that maybe haven't been there yet.
I was going to say just friends, or does he invite some foes, too?
Well, he has invited some foes who became friends. You know, the automakers are a good example. So he, even before he took office, he was bashing companies like Ford and General Motors because they do have factories in Mexico, and he wants them to, you know, do that manufacturing in the United States. And each company in the sort of weeks following that criticism from Trump made a few announcements saying we're going to, you know, here's the investment we're making in the United States this year. Trump basically said, sounds good to me. And thank you for doing this. And of course, he took credit for, you know, some amount of new jobs, and they all get along great now. So that's kind of the formula for getting in Trump's good graces.
Rick, have the meetings changed Trump's economic views?
Well, his views are changing in pretty significantly. I mean, a lot of the most disruptive stuff that economists and business leaders were most worried about is not happening. And he's even saying, no, he actually, you know, he's you know, he's not going to sort of take punitive trade actions against China and Mexico, not yet anyways. And he is, another thing he's done is he's come out and had some nice things to say about Janet Yellen, the Fed chair, who he criticized quite vociferously while he was campaigning. So Trump is sort of becoming a fairly mainstream, maybe even center right person on the economy at this point. That is not what he promised a lot of his voters. So the real question is this going to be okay with the people who voted for Trump? Or are they going to feel that, you know, by turning the White House into a kind of a summer camp for CEOs, that he is kind of abandoning them? Remains to be seen.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, columnist for Yahoo Finance. It's 20 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal along with Ross Akay. Beyond the headlines this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, we know that cleaning toilets is not typically on the top of most people's lists of most desired careers, but it's an honest way to earn a living for some. For one college professor, however, being called a toilet cleaner has inspired him to take legal action. A Montana State University professor is suing Walmart for libel after he says an employee at the Bozeman store listed his occupation on a fishing license as toilet cleaner. Gilbert Calande is an associate professor, or assistant professor rather, of technology education at MSU and filed the suit this past week in county district court. Calande is seeking unspecified damages. According to the complaint, Calande bought a state fishing license in April 2015, showing the Walmart employee identification of his employment at MSU, but the Walmart employee entered clean toilets into the state database as Calande's occupation. The suit contends Walmart exposed Calande to hatred, contempt, and ridicule through the incident.
Why?
I don't know, because how often are you actually showing a fishing license to someone, and how often is that person then, you know, pointing and laughing at you?
This, why did they put that he was cleaning toilets?
Yeah. Number one, why did they do that? So to me, it sounds like, I don't know, maybe he came in, maybe he was rude to the employee, and, you know, maybe there's something there, some backstory there that we're not hearing about. Maybe he was rude to the guy, but then again, you know, this happened a couple of years ago now, and he's just now suing about it. I mean,
really need a lawsuit over this.
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
Right. This is when people talk about there's way too much of this going on. This is the kind of thing they point to, right?
That's nuts.
And here's a cool story, Jennifer. During the season of Easter, a congregation in Indiana is rejoicing over a very generous donation that will help them build a new church. A woman who asked not to be identified told CBS News that her late husband was an avid coin collector and bought an 1866 Double Eagle $20 gold coin that was never in circulation decades ago for $125,000. The woman donated the coin, which is estimated to be worth $300,000 or more at auction these days. And that's exactly how much the church needs to secure a building loan to finish off their project. The pastor of the church calls the woman an angel, but she's downplaying the gift, saying that she has a roof over her head and food in her mouth. She can get by just fine without the rare coin in her collection. The coin goes up for auction on April 27th.
That is a great story.
Yes, that is a fantastic story. And, amazing that she, knew how much, I guess, that coin was worth. And I guess, was able to figure out, I guess, that, $300,000 would be worth. And that's how much they needed. So great that they matched up that way.
And I love these stories that the people don't want to be identified.
Yes.
So that makes it even more special.
Right, right. Like, she gave the interview to CBS, but she said, look, I don't want you to mention my name. And let's just, just make this happen.
Awesome. Awesome stuff. Thank you. It's 13 minutes before the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
The powerful performance and incredible battery life of new Dell PCs with Intel Core processors empower small business employees to do their best work wherever work takes them. Dell's U.S.-based small business advisors and price match guarantee mean you'll always get the best deal on the right solution tailored to your business needs. Powerful PCs are just the beginning of a great partnership. Call 877-BUY-DELL now to contact a Dell small business advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
Gordon Deal to return tomorrow. Jennifer Kishinka in along with Rasa Kay. If you want to live longer, start running. New research finds running may be the single most effective exercise to increase life expectancy. Compared to non-runners, the new study from Iowa State University found that runners tend to live about 3 additional years, even if they run slowly or sporadically and smoke, drink, or are overweight. No other form of exercise that researchers looked at showed comparable impacts on lifespan. The researchers calculated that for hour, running statistically returns more time to people's lives than it consumes. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Rasa Kay is here with more of today's top stories.
Jan, police in Ohio are urging residents in surrounding states to be on alert for a man who they say fatally shot an elderly passerby at random and then posted a gruesome video of the killing on Facebook.
I'm going to keep score today, but I'm about to have me some fun, I guess.
Now, that is the voice of the suspect identified as Steve Stevens before he's seen engaging 74-year-old Robert Godwin in a brief conversation before opening fire. Turkey held an historic referendum on a new political system that could change the course of its history. In a speech on national TV, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan, through a translator, calls it an historic vote to bolster democracy.
A decision made by the Turkish public is a historic moment. This is not an ordinary decision. This is not an ordinary day.
By a slim margin, Turkish voters approved a constitutional change that would replace the parliamentary system with a presidential one, scrapping the office of the prime minister and handing over its powers to the president. DNA evidence and an eagle-eyed state trooper helped find the man authorities believe killed a New York City woman last summer out jogging near her mother's Massachusetts home. Vanessa Marcotte had scratched her attacker, and skin cells under her nails were a match for Angelo Colon Ortiz, located after a state trooper tracked a truck that matched descriptions of a vehicle seen near the August 2016 attack. Tomorrow is your last chance to file 2016 tax returns with the IRS or request an extension without penalty. IRS Commissioner John Koskinen.
Returns should be postmarked by midnight on Tuesday, or you can file electronically and automatically you'll be credited with an on-time filing.
There were 150 nationwide protests Saturday demanding President Trump release his tax returns. He isn't legally obligated to, but polls show a majority of Americans want him to. Trump lashed out Sunday at the protesters, declaring on Twitter that, quote, the election is over. Parishioners in towns across southeastern Portugal attended Easter Mass celebrated by women. Facing a shortage of Roman Catholic priests, women churchgoers have stepped in. Communion wafers representing the body of Christ are blessed by a priest beforehand. The practice of Sunday services being led by lay people in a priest's absence is set out in church guidelines for cases when it's absolutely necessary.
Thanks, Rasa. A half-blind aging chihuahua has been reunited with her owner in Florida following a rescue by an animal lover who likely saved her from being run over. Last week, CBS says local resident Micah Peratt found 13-year-old Osita wandering down the middle of a street in South Beach. He caught the dog and brought her home with him, hoping to find Osita's owner. At home, Peratt gave Osita a bath and introduced her to a new friend, Peratt's dog, Gomi. But Gomi is no ordinary dog. He has more than 80,000 followers on Instagram. And it's thanks to that popularity that Osita was able to reunite with her owner. Peratt posted a picture of Gomi and Osita together, along with videos, and shared her story with Gomi's thousands of followers. The power of social media worked. Someone recognized Osita, who was partly deaf and suffering from cataracts. Friends told friends until Osita's owner was tracked down. He ended up connecting with rescuer Micah and got Osita back. Apparently, she had jumped out of her owner's car and simply ran off. And that'll do it for this hour. For Rasa Kay, I'm Jennifer Kishinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.